Our scripture for the sermon is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Mary and Martha worship and serve. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to come and help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her."
Happy Sabbath. That's about a six. Happy Sabbath. This is the day the Lord hath made. Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. We have so much to be happy for. And I meant to bring up during our prayer time, but to let you know, in case you hadn't heard, that our dear friend Gene Stewart, while walking out at Ford Pond, got bit by a dog on her left hand. Has stitches and is pretty painful, etc. So please keep Jean in your prayers. Talked with her last night, and she's doing as okay as one can be. But yes, please keep her in your prayers. And along with Nona, as you saw, I really miss Nona today. Yes. Let's bow our heads again before we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, again we are humbled and yet full of joy to be able to come to your house or even to watch online. And we just pray that your Spirit would touch all of our hearts and our lives and our minds. Lord, that we'll be drawn closer understanding and relationship with you because of our time here today. So may your Spirit take words and thoughts and guide in all things. We praise you for your goodness. In thy name, amen. Now, I know we're a few days past Mother's Day, right? And this isn't a Mother's Day sermon. But we are looking at a couple of ladies, aren't we, as you can tell by the scripture this morning. And it got me to think, you know, I realize that today's ladies have a big job, a big task. I know more appliances and convenience are now in our kitchens and our homes that make household chores easier, maybe. You know, things have changed a lot since I was a child. You know, we didn't have ice-making refrigerators, microwave ovens, and electric can openers. We had to do it the, you know, old-fashioned way. The dishwashers and all of the things. You know, I didn't even know what an air fryer was. I'm not sure I even understand it today. But in spite of all of these things, supposedly add convenience to the home, many ladies, and you men too, are probably busier than any other point in history. Have you ever felt that way? Exceptions for women have changed as well, because today she's not only encouraged to bring home the bacon, she cooks it too, as the saying goes. And she's often expected to keep the house, cook the meals, wash the clothes, take care of the children, and may even work 40 hours plus. She's often busy from sunrise to sunset. And us guys, we need to help her too. Amen? I thought I'd hear more from the ladies. Another change that we've seen in recent years is this concept of a super mom. You know, this is the woman who attempts to have it all. You know, to attain that good education, to get a stellar career, and to be a great mother as well. And many ladies I see are finding it's not an easy thing to do. Because regardless of time schedules and calendar organizers, there's still only 24 hours in a day, right? Sometimes we wish for 36 hours, but God in his goodness knew that 24 was enough for us. With all that is expected today, many people, in just trying to get through their busy lives, are finding that they're cutting corners to try to fit everything into their waking hours. And the problem with this is that one aspect most often gets cut or overlooked is that of the spiritual. Many women and men fail to take special quality time with God. And if they focus only on the material and neglect the spiritual, they will not be fulfilled and happy. You know, someone once said that it's the woman who sets the mood of the home. Have you heard that? Or maybe you recognize it in today's vernacular. If mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. Yeah. Today's women, especially through motherhood, have the greatest opportunity to mold the future. It was Napoleon who said, "The fate of a child is always the work of his mother." Or as the song says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." How important is that? And I realize the passage that Brother Sherm read this morning is not about mothers. And as far as I know, in Scripture, it never mentions either Martha or Mary as being mothers. That's one of the details we don't know. We can only wonder. Tradition is always thought, because of the verbiage in those texts, that Martha was the older sister, maybe widowed, who took in her brother and a sister under her care. But what we do know about them was that they lived in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. However, Martha and Mary were women who faced decisions that were important, and the results had eternal consequences. Jesus loved both these women greatly, didn't he? Along with their brother, Lazarus. We're told here in Luke that Martha received Jesus into her house. Jesus was becoming well known by this time. I mean, he had quite a bit of a following that followed everywhere he went. And no doubt, Martha, knowing he was coming there, wanted everything to be right. I mean, after all, some were even saying, this is the Messiah coming to her house. Put yourself in that position. If the Messiah was coming to your house. So she was busy working, while Mary, her sister, was just sitting there listening to the words that Jesus taught. And as we just read, Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen the best part. So this passage of Scripture shows three differences between Mary and Martha. We're going to get some lessons from this morning. All the time, remember that Mary had chosen the better part. Because this text, remember, applies not only to mothers and women, as well as to men. I mean, this is for all of us. So see where you fit into this morning. The first point I'd like to look at is that there was a difference in the focus of these ladies. Both of them had different focuses. Their minds were in two different places. You know, Webster's dictionary defines focus as the point where reflected rays come together, the center. So we could say by focus here means that in their life, all the things that they're concerned about is coming down into one point that is the center of their life, the focus of their life. Now notice what they were paying attention to. Scripture tells us that Martha was concerned about what? Serving. That's what she was focused on. All of her attention was on serving. And no doubt, she was excited. I don't blame her at all for that. Jesus was coming to her house. I mean, she wanted everything to be just right. This was important. Jesus was an honored guest. In a time when it was really customary to prepare a meal for any guest that came, especially this time. And I don't know what was being prepared, but I'm sure that Martha put everything she had into it. She wanted everything right, and she was busy serving the master. That's good. You know, though, in the past, I have known people who spend all of their time being busy. Maybe you know a few of them. They serve on every committee the church has. They may teach Sabbath school and teach Wednesday night Bible study classes and head up ladies' ministries and personal ministries. I mean, if there's a position open in the church, they do their best to fill it. Some do all these things. And yet I have found in the past that they have trouble developing a closer relationship with Jesus. Did you know that you can be too busy, even doing good things for the Lord? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to serve the Lord. Not at all. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be involved in church work. Heavens no. It is safe to say that all churches need more people that are willing to be involved. For I believe God has a work for every single church member. There are classes that need to be taught. There are new ministries that can be raised up. There are gifts out here that have yet to be developed into their potential. You know, a study conducted several years ago found that regardless of the size of the church, be it 20 people or be it 2,000 people, it still was roughly only 10% of a church's attendance are active in performing ministries of a church. No wonder so many people suffer burnout. You know, they're so busy working for the Lord, they're having to do their job plus somebody else's too. It can happen. But as we look at Mary and Martha, we find Martha's service, though it was not a bad thing. Not at all. The problem was, as it says here, she had much, much serving. Martha was so focused on serving. The Greek word used here is for service is diakonia. That's a Greek word where we get the word deacon from, service. Serving is not a bad thing, but Martha had allowed it to creep in and to become the pure center of her attention. The Bible here says she was cumbered, verse 40. Luke 10, verse 40. Martha was cumbered about much, here in the King James it says. She was cumbered about it. The key word there. Because all of her energy, all of her attention, all of her focus, everything that was eating her attention up. You know, and I've heard all kinds of people psychoanalyze her, and maybe she had low self-esteem and she was trying to make up for it in her service, or she's type A personality, or all these different things. Theologians could say, man, she's work-based, and so she's trying to... No, Scripture just says she is focused on the wrong thing. Now think about it a moment. What a tragedy it is to have the Lord of the universe, the Creator God, in your house, and you're too busy to hear what He's saying. Did you know we have people that sit in churches around this world every Sabbath in the presence of the Lord, and their thoughts are 10,000 miles away? They're too busy to hear what the Lord has to say. How's that? This is not just confined to church work either, friends. No, there are mothers who labor hard on the job, and men. But they work to build the future for their children, and they're working to build good for their families, and they rarely give thought, though, to the spiritual needs of their children. It does happen. But I thank God for every mother who takes time to teach her children about the Word of God. And remember, that is the first and foremost point. For thank God for every mother who pays attention to the Word of God themselves so they can teach it to their children and live it in their life. For we know you can teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. So make sure that you are taking that time so that you are genuine, and the teaching and the raising of the children will bring forth much fruit. If you want to thumb over to John, book of John chapter 6, you might keep a finger here in Luke. John chapter 6 and verse 27. John chapter 6, verse 27. Says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures unto everlasting life. For the Son of Man will give to you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. What a reminder that is. Jesus said not to put all of your energy into that which is temporary. I know of dads and moms who work hard and lay up everything they have for their children, and when they're gone, everything they had put up, the children waste in a short time. It's gone. It's not appreciated. It's taken for granted. But friends, I have yet to hear a single person, a child, ever say that they didn't appreciate the faith that their parents passed on to them. People are so focused on the things of this world. Just an interesting statistic I looked up for the year 2022. There's a total of 735 billionaires, that's a B, in the United States. 735 billionaires, of which 13.05% are ladies. That's 96. That's good. Or not. I don't know. I'm not here to sit and judge them. I'm just saying that your focus can be so much on the things of this world that you forget what is important. What is the best part? Because let's notice Mary now. Scripture says that she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And notice, it says, she heard his word. Back in Luke 10. She heard his word. The question comes to my mind, are you hearing his word daily? Am I hearing his word daily? Are you taking time to listen to Jesus, not just to give him his petitions, which are good too, but don't forget to listen to Jesus. Are you focused on him? Are you letting the Bible speak to your heart and your life and bringing it out throughout the day so that you're abiding in him? Mary was focused on Jesus and his word, and he said she chose the best part. Second point was that there was a difference in their fellowship with Christ. Let's pay attention to Mary here a minute. Again, she's sitting at the very feet of Jesus. And the Greek here means that she was literally sitting down on the floor right in front of the feet of Jesus. She wanted to get as close to him as she possibly could. And I can just picture her sitting there looking up at him and just rapt love. She didn't want to miss a word of what Jesus was saying. She knew there was something special about this man, Jesus. To be at someone's feet is a position of closeness. Let me tell you something this morning. You're as close to Jesus as you want to be. It's that simple. You're as close to Jesus as you want to be. And you know, there are folks out there who don't like that. It's quick to come up with excuses. But know that Jesus' desire for you is to be close to him. To be literally right there with him, right there next to him. And if you're not as close to him as you used to be, guess who moved? You see, it all comes down to priorities, doesn't it? It comes down to focus. It comes down to our choices. For Mary, the fellowship with Christ was the priority of her life. So listen, scriptures say that you have been called into that fellowship with Christ. Did you know that? Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 is a beautiful text. says God is what? Faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise God. You have been called into that close fellowship of Jesus Christ. He wants nothing more than that relationship, to be that close, for us to be at the feet of Jesus. So Mary knew that to fully receive from Jesus, she was going to have to shut everything else out of the first place in her life and focus on being close to him. Let's go back to Martha for a minute. Now, we're not told Martha's specific location in the house. You know, she might have been in the kitchen, she might have been in the dining room, she might have been in the pantry, I don't know. But we're just told that she was cumbered with much serving. She was probably here in this place a while, then moved to another place and being so busy. But what I want you to notice is that word here in King James says cumbered. It was much burdened. Now, this is a word we don't use much in English. When is the last time you used the word cumbered? Yeah, right. Okay. But the New Revised Standard translated that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. The Greek word used literally means to draw away and to distract. So Martha was letting her tasks, her good tasks, draw her away from Christ. Remember, she was the one who received Christ into her home. She was the one who welcomed him in. And yet now, other things have become more important, and she's drawn away from the one she needs to hear the most. I wonder how many times do we possibly receive Christ into the home of our hearts and welcome him in, and then allow other things to slide in to consume us and draw our attention away from him, like Martha. If we're not careful, we will be like, remember the ground that received the seed with joy, and yet because we didn't take time to root ourselves in fellowship with Christ, the rocks and the stones of our lives didn't allow the seed to grow, choked it out. Then we become overwhelmed with our troubles and our cares, and we die out spiritually. This is a grave danger, friends. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we would let them slip or drift away. Earnest. So, question. What do you have to do to drift away? Absolutely nothing. You ever thought about it? Absolutely nothing. The currents of life, the cares of this life, the temptations of this life will naturally cause you to drift away. There's this current force that is constantly flooding over us, and especially Christ's people. That Satan is just pouring on. It's kind of, the only analogy I could think of is like standing in front of a big floor fan. And all of this pressure and everything is just constantly going against you. And as a Christian, you're swimming upstream. You've got to fight that. So if you're not actively focused, if you're not actively making the choice to do as Mary did, you'll end up like Martha, even while doing good things, and you will get pushed aside and away from Jesus. I recently read a story of a man who had bought a boat and kept it in a harbor on the coast of Florida. And a hurricane warning came into effect. The storm was brewing off the coast. It was coming in. It was about to hit land, and he was panicking. I mean, he'd invested a large sum of money into this boat. He didn't want it destroyed. And there was a friend there who has experience in boats and in hurricanes, and he said the one thing, he said, don't attempt to tie the boat to the dock or anything on land, because it'll be beat to pieces. Here's what you need to do. He said, your only hope is to anchor deep. Get off away from shore. Put four anchors down. Drop them deep. Hold them tight, and the boat will ride out the storm. That's good advice spiritually too. If you don't want to drift away, if you don't want the storms of this life and just even the good business of life, if you want your life to mean something, if you want to leave your children, your grandchildren an example of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to abide in Christ, to have that, you need to anchor deep in your fellowship with Christ. If we don't center our life on Christ, we will drift away. Remember, it was Jesus who said that Mary chose the best part. The third and last point, that there was a difference in their feelings. So notice what Jesus said about Martha back in Luke 10, verse 41. Luke 10, 41 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." He saw it. He could see right through to the condition of our soul. And he's saying, you're worried, you're troubled about so many things. The RSV says, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. The New Revised Standard says, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. What I want you to see and reflect on was Martha's feelings. Because we find her here upset. She's upset. She's anxious. She's worried. Friends, when you don't focus on Christ, when you don't anchor deep in fellowship with Him, this is the end result. Anxiety and worry. You know, I love that old hymn, and we're going to sing it here in a couple minutes. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, we know that song, most of us, all our lives, and we've sung it so many times. Sometimes we can fall into just singing a song because the lyrics we know and the words. We need to pause, anchor into some of those words, bring them into you. The first verse, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in care, in prayer, excuse me. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, Martha, who had the one who could speak peace to the whole storm, the Prince of Peace was right in her home, maybe just on the other side of that wall, and she's far from being peaceful. Her feelings are those of anxiety and fear and concern. She's troubled. And I can't help but wonder how many today are filled with fear and worry and concern, all because they don't focus on the peacemaker. Satan wants us to focus on the troubles and the storm and the chaos and the danger. Don't focus on the peacemaker. It's what he wants. Jesus says, no, focus on me. It's a scary world we live in, isn't it? At least to me, it's getting scarier every day, practically. And if you don't want to go crazy, you have better have the Prince of Peace as the center of your life and is anchored deep in Him. Let's take a closing moment here and look at Mary. The scripture doesn't say exactly what she was feeling as it does about Martha. It just tells us that she's found sitting at the very feet of Jesus. Nobody was going to bump her out of the way. She's focused on Him, focused on His words. And friends, I'm sure she was feeling peace. You might say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? How do you know she's feeling peace? Because of what the Bible says. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and chapter 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Says, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, those who focus their minds, friend, who lean on Christ, are kept in perfect peace. Mary had indeed chosen the better part. But notice what the Lord said to Martha. He said, one thing is needful. Interesting. Catch that? Just one thing is necessary, the Greek says. I realize your days are busy, full of activities. Now I know that your schedules are chock full, but Jesus said, one thing is necessary. Martha was busy, but what would it have mattered in the big picture of eternity if supper was a few minutes late? What would it have mattered if the biscuits were burned a little? I don't know if they had biscuits, but I had to throw it in there. It wouldn't have mattered at all, would it? What would have mattered if she hadn't gotten everything just perfect and yet missed out on eternity? You know, friends, you may keep an immaculate house, maybe a clean one at least, but do you find time for God, quality time, every day? You may be moving up and down the financial ladder of success, and suppose and hope you are, but remember, you're not taking any of that with you. Is it worth missing out on eternity because you're not anchored deep? You may be raising your children according to the latest earthly principles of child rearing currently being advocated by the American Psychological Association, but only one thing is most needful and only one thing is necessary according to God, and that's your relationship with Him. Because from that comes the abundance of life. So Jesus told Martha, Mary has chosen the good part that won't be taken away from her, because she was making plans for eternity and nothing was going to turn her away. How about you? How about me? Friends, keep your friend Jesus at the center of all of who you are, and the storms won't matter. They're coming. It's going to break on this world as never seen before. But if our focus is not at the feet of Jesus, and if we're not anchored firmly upon Him and upon the Bible, upon the Scripture, and the power of the Holy Spirit bringing that to us in our lives, we will be deceived, if possible, the very elect. That should send us to our Bibles, shouldn't it? That should send us to our knees. Cling to Jesus, friends. Cling to Jesus. For we have no better friend, no better Savior. It's my prayer today. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us if we drift away from You. It is evident, plainly, from Scripture that there's no greater desire in Your heart than our salvation and relationship with You. And Lord, forgive us when we get so caught up in the things of this world, even the good things, that we can lose our grip and our anchor slip, and before we know it, Lord, we're sliding downstream. We thank You that You have not left us, that You'll reach out and take us and draw us back closer to You. And we just pray that for each of us that hear my voice this morning, Lord, we'll want nothing more than that deeper relationship with You, to be sitting at Your feet, to allow Your Spirit and Your power to change our hearts and our lives, to prepare us to meet You. So, Lord, don't let us be distracted. Don't let us get so caught up, even in the good things, to let our relationship with You fall aside. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Father, take us from here and draw us near. We pray in thy most holy name. Amen.